we don't often think as the Bible as being a very exciting kind of book to read, but today's gospel passage was actually a very exciting moment in the history of salvation, in the history of the world. Because when you look through the Old Testament, the buildup that's there as we read the prophets and the Proverbs and the Psalms and all those other things, there's kind of like build up to this coming of a Messiah. And this Messiah who will be the Savior, who will rectify all things, who will resolve all our problems. And there's a constant build up to that. And then we get to the New Testament, the second part of the Bible, and there Jesus arrives on the scene, and we start to see how he fulfills this prophecy, he fulfills that prophecy, he will start to kind of like make connections. And it's actually in Mark chapter 8, which is the first of all the Gospels, where finally it's really settling in. And Jesus got this impression, I think, knowing that people were starting to connect the dots. And so he said to his nearest and dearest followers, well, who do people say that I am, right? What's the kind of opinion that's out there? And you heard the responses that they gave. But then all of a sudden, he's like, no, you, like, who do you think that I am, right? He got very, very personal beyond the public opinion of things. And Peter, being our first pope, Peter being the leader of the church, Peter, with his great inspiration, all of a sudden, ding, 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 all of the synapses are connecting and everything. And he's like, you're the Messiah. You are the Messiah. The word Messiah in Hebrew comes to our language, English, through the Greek, and we say Christ. So when Peter said, you are the Christ, what he was really saying in Hebrew is that you are the Messiah, the one that we've been waiting for centuries and centuries and centuries, has finally arrived. We talk about an exciting moment in the history of humanity that St. Peter gets it right. And I always, though, consider this particular gospel passage, I call it the hero to zero gospel, right? Because Peter nails it. He gets it right. And if you can just imagine Peter's face thinking, wow, I got it right. I'm the first person to recognize that he's the Messiah and how excited he is. But then Jesus says, well, you know, it's not really the type of Messiah that you're thinking about. It's not going to be all fun and games. It's not going to be all glamour. Remember the reading we just had from Isaiah, right? Isaiah's first reading today was that prophecy of the Messiah as the suffering servant of God. And so when Peter hears this, and he got the first question right, and he hears Peter, Jesus now saying he's going to be suffering, he's like, no, 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 no. I'm not going to let that happen. And that's when all of a sudden Peter goes from hero down to zero. Get behind me, Satan. I mean, how much lower can you go, right? And you can imagine Peter's face in that moment. Like, I think he must have been thinking, I should have let John or James or one of the others kind of answer that second question, right? But that hero to zero reality, I think, is something that's part of all of our lives. We're on our ups, right? We're on our downs. We have these different points of our lives. And a friend was asking me recently, saying, you know, how do you prepare your homilies? And what's the hardest part of your preparing your homilies? And I was saying that for me, the hardest part is that preaching the Word of God to so many people, so many of us are coming from different places, right? Some of us are entering the final chapters of our lives here on earth. Others are just beginning, like little Beckett over there, right? We have a wide range of ages. We have men, we have women. We have people who are doing very, very well financially. Others who just lost their job, right? People are coming from more progressive spectrum to a more conservative spectrum. And like, how do you give a meaningful message taking in so many divergent vantage points? And then on top of that, if that wasn't enough diversity, right? How many of us are on an up right now? How many of us are on a down right now, right? Life has this kind of roller coaster effect. And I know that when each one of us walked in here this morning, we were all somewhere on that hero to zero scale, that high to low sense of feeling in our lives, right? And so that leads me, though, to my second point, because as I struggle with that, there's an older priest who said this to me years ago, and he just actually repeated it to me the other day. He said, "Stephen, just remember, you're not the Messiah," right? I'm like, yeah, I know that in spades. So you don't have to have all the answers. But what we try to do as preachers is to lead our listeners closer to the Messiah, to Jesus, to the Christ. And that's the second part of my homily, that we should really rejoice that Jesus, our Messiah, he knows where each one of us is right now. He knows if we're mad. He knows if we're sad. He knows if we're feeling up or we're feeling down. He knows if we're feeling secure or we're feeling very insecure. He knows each one of us, and actually knows us better than we know ourselves. And so Jesus, this wonderful Messiah, is able to adapt himself to each one of us individually. So as we turn to Jesus, the Messiah, today, may we also recognize that he is there. And if we need a consoler, Jesus is here today for us in Holy Communion as a consoler. And if we need an encourager, Jesus is here as an encourager. And if we need a corrector, which we may not think we need a corrector, but I know I often do, he's here to be a corrector to us as well, this Messiah, who adapts himself to the needs and circumstances of each of his followers. That's what all of us are. So we should really rejoice in that fact that's there. And then I want to get to my third and final point, which actually comes from today's second reading. And in today's second reading, it's kind of one of these theological conundrums, right? That people have been debating for centuries and centuries, and theologians and academics, of basically how do we get to heaven? Is it our faith in Jesus as the Messiah, or is it our good works? Right? It's kind of presented as an either-or situation. But the answer is actually quite simple. It's not either-or. It's both and. Right? It's both our faith in Jesus and our good works inspired in his teachings that will eventually get us into heaven. Right? But that concept of both and, I really want to sit on it a little bit here right now with you. I think it's a good mentality for all of us to have in our lives. We live in a world of such polarization and kind of either-or vantage points, and it happens that we wind up pigeonholing each other and our viewpoints and everything. And we're really called, I believe, as Jesus did as our Messiah, right, to be a both-and type of people. And I want to tell you this because when I first arrived to you 15 months ago, the very first real meeting I had with one of our parishioners, we had a little meal together, and after the meal was over, and he dropped me back here at the house, as we were there, he said to me, "So Father Stephen, are you a conservative or a liberal?" And I was like, "Wow, like, nice to meet you, you know?" And I was thinking to myself, where are you going with this? And my answer, because I've tried to live the both and for a long time, not always successfully, but I responded back saying, I really strive in my life to be conservatively liberal and to be liberally conservative, which I don't think really satisfied him, but I said, above all, my role as pastor is really not to be in either camp. My role as pastor is to take everyone where we are and lead us, whether we're conservative or liberal, rich or poor, male or female, and bring us closer to the Messiah, closer to Christ, so that each one of us, when we're here each week, we can connect personally, one-on-one, with that Messiah. And I'd invite you today, as well, Father Vincent will give a little moment of silence after my homily, to really engage in that dialogue heart to heart with Jesus. And he'll turn to you and say, "Marie, Now, who do you say that I am? And I know you'll say, Jesus, I know you're the Messiah. But as you say that to him, I'd also invite you to say, but you know, Jesus, besides being the Messiah, today I need you to be for me a consoler or a corrector or an encourager. But you know where I'm at right now, Lord. Give me the graces I need right now so that I can be a better follower of you who are truly indeed the Messiah. And that's my prayer. So take a moment, really have that heart to heart, because that's what really matters most. Our connection with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who loves each one of us wherever we are right now.